All right, let's jump right in. We are diving into some seriously thought-provoking stuff today.
Definitely. Should be a good one.
It's the Book of Nahum. You know, that part of the Bible that always sparks some, well, interesting conversations.
Oh, yeah. It's a wild ride. All about the destruction of Nineveh. That was the capital of the Assyrian Empire, right?
Exactly. And we're going to be approaching it from a secular perspective, thinking about it as a historical document, a piece of literature, not necessarily a divine revelation.
So we'll be looking at it kind of like how a historian or a literary critic would, right?
Exactly. But before we get into the nitty-gritty, can you give us like a super quick recap of what this book is all about for anyone who might not be familiar?
Sure. So basically, the Book of Nahum is this collection of really intense poetry, prophecies, all foretelling the downfall of Nineveh. The Assyrians, they were known for being pretty brutal. So for the people of Judah who wrote this book, Nineveh was like the ultimate enemy.
Right. They were like the big bad guys of the ancient world.
Yeah.
So Nahum is basically saying, guess what? They're going down.
Yeah. It's full of these vivid descriptions of destruction, vengeance, all that good stuff. Like, it doesn't hold back at all.
And I think that's what makes it so fascinating, but also kind of disturbing to modern readers. Like, we have this idea of God being loving and merciful.
Right, but in Nahum, he's portrayed as this, well, pretty angry and vengeful figure. It can be a tough pill to swallow.
No kidding. Okay, so let's start with the whole vengeance and destruction thing. The language in Nahum is super graphic and poetic. There's one line that always sticks with me. Woe to the bloody city. It is all full of lies and robbery. Its victim never departs. Like, damn, that's some powerful imagery. What do you think the original audience would have felt reading that?
I mean, you got to imagine these were people who had lived under Assyrian rule, right? They've probably seen or heard about some pretty horrific stuff.
Yeah, the Assyrians had a reputation for being pretty ruthless conquerors.
Exactly. So for them, this imagery would have been very real, very visceral. It would have tapped into this deep fear, but also this longing for justice.
Like, finally, someone's gonna get what they deserve.
Yeah, kind of like that. It's this idea of divine retribution. And that was a huge theme in ancient cultures, not just in the Bible.
So you're saying this wasn't unique to the people of Judah?
Not at all. The ancient Greeks, the Mesopotamians, they all had these stories about gods punishing wrongdoers. It was a way of making sense of the world, I guess.
Like, if bad things happen, it's because someone pissed off the gods.
Basically, it provided this sense of order, even if it was a pretty scary kind of order.
Yeah, I could see how that would be both comforting and terrifying at the same time. Okay, let's move on to the prophecy itself. We know Nineveh did eventually fall, but did it happen exactly how Nahum predicted?
Well, that's where things get a little tricky. See, scholars believe Nahum wrote this sometime in the 7th century BCE.
Okay, and Nineveh fell in 612 BCE, right?
Yep. So there's definitely a gap there. Some scholars think that Nahum's prophecy might have been more about reflecting the political climate of his time.
You mean it was more about what the people of Judah wanted to happen rather than a literal prediction of the future?
Exactly. They were under Assyrian rule. They were desperate for liberation. So this prophecy, it could have been a way of bolstering their spirits, of giving them hope.
It's like a powerful piece of propaganda.
In a way, yeah. It's about understanding the historical context, the motivations behind the text.
It's like reading between the lines, trying to figure out what the author was really trying to say.
Huh.
And speaking of the author, let's talk about how Nahum portrays God. He comes across as very human, jealous, angry, vengeful, not exactly the all-loving, merciful God that many people imagine today.
Right, that's another thing that can be jarring for modern readers. But again, you have to remember the context. This was a common way of depicting gods in ancient cultures.
So it was all about making the divine relatable, even if it meant giving them very human flaws.
Yeah, they weren't afraid to show the gods getting angry, jealous, even petty sometimes.
That's interesting. It really shows how our understanding of God has evolved over time.
Definitely. And it makes you wonder how people will interpret these texts hundreds of years from now.
That's a great point. Okay, so to wrap things up, we've looked at these powerful themes of vengeance and destruction, the historical context of the prophecy, and this very human portrayal of God. It's safe to say that the Book of Nahum is a complex and challenging text.
Oh, absolutely. But it's also incredibly valuable. It gives us this unique window into the beliefs and fears of an ancient people, a society struggling to survive in a world full of uncertainty and violence.
And it forces us to confront some tough questions about justice, power and the nature of the divine.
Exactly. And I think that's what makes it so relevant, even thousands of years later. It challenges us to think critically about our own beliefs, to question the easy answers.
And that's something we should all be doing. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, I think that's a great place to leave it for today. A lot to ponder. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the Book of Nahum. Until next time.
My pleasure. Always a fascinating discussion.